Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I just want to say for the record, I really do enjoy the game ball version more than the blame balls. But, John, it's a blame ball day, bad to the bone. Who was bad, John? Who did you give the award to? The dishonor to.
I really hate to point the finger at Kevin Petullo, but it just feels it feels too easy and too obvious, and I know that there's a lot more that goes into it than just Kevin Petullo calling these plays. But, you know, because there were a lot of people who succumbed to they were seduced by the pass. They were also seduced by A.J. Brown, which just can't happen.
No, and, and that's
on Sirianni. The identity of the team is what matters, and you stick with what got you here. You stick with what won you a world championship, and you got away from it. The beauty, the positive is that you can return to from whence you came. It is a quick turnaround this week. It's time to just, hey, get back to what you do well.
Very correctable. Seltzer, bad award who?
I hate to not hit on the players at all in the first two, because I do think the players deserve blame for yesterday as well. But for me, it's Nick Sirianni, like, clearly with a bullet at the top of the list
totally
for this loss.
I'm
like,
totally with you.
The not running the ball thing is huge. Philosophically caving to AJ. Just the fact the AJ and Jalen relationship is hurting the team. Like, you're the head coach. You got to figure these things out. And then on a more tangible, basic level, I mean, the undisciplined football. I mean, the penalties they had killed them yesterday. Unable to get lined up for plays in time. And I know I said it before, but the fact that Jalen Carter has had a penalty, a taunting penalty, each home game they played. And you've asked Nick two times now after each of those games, hey, what are we going to do about you? We're going to keep it in-house, isn't that? What? Nothing's working. Fix it.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only thing I'll disagree with, James, is the degree to which you're fired up. Like, listen, it stunk yesterday, but they are 4-1.
It's the moment. I'm with you. My overall thing, and I said it on my pod yesterday, is they're 4-1, and a lot of these things are correctable. If you want to talk about something I'm concerned about, it's the injuries, the offensive line struggles in play. But I am still, yesterday, frustrated with it.
I get it. I'm just pointing out they are still tied with the best record in football. But Bills lost last night.
Yeah, the Bills are. Yeah. But those issues,
Problems, Ray. Look,
not suspending him for at least, you know, has it proved to him that he can do whatever he wants.
It's I understand the
we
point.
We said from the first game.
I hear you. Bad award. Who do you got, Ray?
They took both of mine. I had Petullo was my number one, John, so you and I are on the same page. I'm going to go A.J. Brown.
I was going to do that, too.
That would have been my other one. If he had taken Sirianni, I was going to take A.J. Brown.
Because on that play, you know, he stopped running. And then afterwards, they're not talking. They've got to throw those two in a room. So maybe, like, you know, maybe Jalen's part of it. But, you know, you've proved to be the problem for this week. They completely changed the offense to cater to you. And look, and congratulations, AJ, you got a loss.
Yeah. Do you agree with my assertion, Rhea, that if he hadn't tweeted out what he tweeted, the Eagles likely would have won the game?
1,000%.
Yeah.
And also specifically to the quitting on the route, like, after you do all this complaining and stuff, to stop in that spot, like, you look that much worse, man. Like, it's that much
it's
worse.
It's bad luck.
It's a horrible
It's a bad luck. Look, you guys took, I thought, a lot of the biggies. I'll just go with this guy. His name's come up a few times today, including the last couple minutes. I'll go with Jalen Carter. He's not firing on all cylinders. He doesn't seem to be firing near on all cylinders. I used to say this about Fletcher Cox, and I now say it about Jalen Carter. Fletcher Cox's job wasn't to play defensive tackle. Fletcher Cox's job was to dominate. That's why he was being paid $100 million. Like his business card, like, what's your job? To dominate. That was his responsibility. Jalen Carter's not being paid $100 million yet, but he will at some point, probably by the Eagles, maybe by someone else. His job is to dominate. He's not. He's just not. And so Jalen Carter is my guy right there. But look, there obviously are some other players you can mention that are worthwhile for some blame because they are very undisciplined. They are shockingly undisciplined. But again, the biggest thing that stood out to me yesterday was the disappointment that Sirianni caved to A.J. Brown. And I think it's a massive mistake, and I think it cost him a game. 215-592-9494. Let's get to CJ right now. CJ, good morning.
Morning.
Hi, CJ.
Hey, buddy.
So I hear you saying, like, hey, he caved, right? Mm-hmm. He caved into A.J. And I hear everybody saying, well, if A.J. had to send his ticks. So let me ask this question before the ticks were sent. Were we running the ball well?
No. Well, yesterday they didn't run it bad, but this season, no. They've been a lame running team this year. That's for sure.
Okay. Has the offense been balanced? Has it looked like something that meshed together between the pass and the running game?
It's pretty balanced. It's Eagles balanced. I mean, prior to yesterday, they did what they typically...
No.
Well, why no? They've run it 54%. They passed it 46. I mean, that strikes me as pretty balanced, particularly when you're supposed to have a good running game. And have had leads, so why is that not good?
You said it's balanced because they've been running the ball, but we've said that we haven't run the ball well.
They have not run it well. That's true. That's true.
Because say they, I mean,
but CJ, they also had a but they had a 17-3 lead, my man. I mean, 17-3. If for no other reason, start churning the clock. That's one element to this. But there's also it's not like they weren't running decent with Saquon. I'm not saying it was last year. It wasn't. But it was okay. And it wasn't something to abandon yesterday. I know they lost Dickerson. I know his main strength is run blocking. We all know that. But my
averaging
God.
This 4.1 a carry on the 11 carries that we put up.
All the players combined. Yeah.
That includes, you know, Will Shipley, who gave, you know, one attempt for 0 yards.
Which both so our backup running backs are averaging more per
carry. I miss Kenny Gainwell.
I did too, Ray. I did too.
He's
I agree
good.
With that.
Yeah.
I agree with both of you. I do. Yeah.
So here's the thing. We can say because this text was sent, but the biggest thing we keep seeing is there's issues with play calling. It's on time, it doesn't mesh well. It's this oversaturation of running the ball, and we're not running the ball effectively to the point
the
to
balance,
where now we over
the field.
Yeah, there's a lack of balance. And it's always been that way.
Rhythm. The rhythm. This is what it does feel like every single year we talk about the same thing. It's the 5 year. It's the five different play callers over the last 5 years, whatever that number is now. It takes a while before they perfect this process. And the speed of getting that play in when the play is explode the far double ring right, F left, 322, Y stick nod, Z under, check two, and then you got a whole other play. Like, this is getting way too verbose, way too...
Well, we don't know that the Eagles use that
right,
lingo.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever is taking so long, whether it's the way there's...
Whether it's getting the plays in,
the plays,
yeah.
Making the decision, whatever.
Making a decision
yeah, totally.
On it. Look, so I remember I thought one of the greatest improvements that our last coaching staff made, with Peterson, he called the plays by number. And remember, Carson could just look at his wrist.
Yeah.
And I really thought it cut back on a lot of the time.
Yep.
So whatever they have to do. So I don't know that it's the verbosity of the offense that's the problem. It could be the processing time of the play caller himself.
Yep.
We talk about Jalen's processing time all the time. He needs to get those plays in faster because the operation time of the offense is affecting its ability to get in the right place at times.
I'm with you. All right, let's get to the refs. Because, look, they obviously messed up a number of different ways, particularly late in the game. Most notably, with the Goddard thing not being called a penalty, the ball should have been on the 3-yard line. I mean, it just should have been on the 3-yard line. So let's get to pull reporter. If you don't know that concept, they'll have a referee sometimes speak to a pool reporter, which means one designated, in this case, Philadelphia reporter, Zach Berman, was the pool reporter yesterday that goes in and talks to the ref after the game. You get to ask a couple questions, you get the answers, you put it out to the world. So here's what Zach Berman, as the pool reporter, put out to the world yesterday for what the referee said. Here were the questions, here were the answers. We don't have audio of this, we have a transcription. Here's what was said. The question from Zach Berman, the grounding on Bo Nix, why was that flag picked up on the field? The ref, Adrian Hill, his answer. So what happened there? We have an 0-2-0. That's our official-to-official communication system. My 0-2-0 was not working. Grounding is a teamwork foul. I had intentional grounding. The line judge had that there was a receiver in the area, number 28, but I didn't hear the information over 0-2-0, so I threw the flag. The line judge came in and let me know that 28 indeed was in the area, and that's why we picked up the flag. John, what'd you make of that one in the moment?
I thought it was very clearly, and I don't think I'm being biased here, intentional grounding. He was spinning around. There's no way in hell he can see where he's throwing the ball. He's spinning around. Like he's releasing the ball just to get it out of his hands. He doesn't realize where anyone is at that moment in time. It seemed very clear. This was just a ejection seat move. You know, get that ball out to avoid the sack.
Yeah, I also thought it was totally confusing. I wasn't there. Rhea, for people that were there, had to be confusing that they didn't announce to the fans after they had changed the call. They just moved the ball. Like
it was.
Yes.
Wasn't that bizarre?
It was very bizarre. And he had done it several times. He had actually been called for it once earlier in the game. And he did it a couple times and was getting away with it.
Yeah.
But I know they called him for it. But yeah, here's the way I look at. I don't want to blame yesterday's officials for it because I just thought what the Eagles did in the second half offensively crushed their defense, who were completely gassed in the fourth quarter. But the officiating in the fourth quarter
was real weak. It was weak. All right,
yeah.
So here's the next one because we got four of these to go through. So Zach Berman's question on the ref. The illegal shift penalty. I believe it was on number 26 on the Eagles. What prompted that penalty? By the way, I'm guessing that Zach Berman said Saquon, and someone, you know, someone official NFL person probably makes this number 26.
Or they might tell them you have to say by the numbers because that's how the refs do it. You know what I mean?
It could be. All right, so the question, legal shift penalty, I believe it was on 26 on the Eagles. What prompted that penalty? His answer, two players went in motion. So by rule, when two players go in motion, both have to reset for a second before the snap. One player stopped, but 26 continued in motion, so that's what created the illegal shift. They didn't both reset for a full second. That's completely accurate.
I mean, yeah, that was a penalty.
It was just
undisciplined, stupid football.
And you know what was caused by
didn't
that?
Didn't have enough time on
time.
The play clock.
Yeah. It's the time. It's a time problem.
All right, next. But Devontae also had that stumble. I mean, he's not supposed to do that, so that was weird. Mm-hmm. Right, that's the right play, right, when he stumbled moving forward? I think. Anyway.
No,
I think that was AJ.
That was a different play.
AJ and Saquon were both in motion.
I got you. My fault. All right, next. The second to last play of the game. A pass. This is the big one. This is the question you want to hear the answer to. Here's the question. Here's the answer. The second to last play of the game, a pass to Dallas Goedert. Why did that not rise to the level of pass interference? Answer from the referee. So, our officials saw mutual hand fighting and hand-to-hand combat, and did not see action that rose to the level of a foul on that play. Bogus answer. I mean, sure, is there some hand fighting? Sure. Was it defensive pass interference? Freaking yes. Okay? Yes. I mean, I cannot believe that was not called pass interference. And obviously, if that ball's put on the 3-yard line with a couple seconds left, you know, I forget exactly how many seconds it would have been, but I guess you're going to get one or two plays, probably two, if I remember right, because I think it was 9 seconds, I think. So
no, I think it might have just been one. You're talking about after the penalty?
If the Goddard penalty had been called,
yeah, I think it would have been
one
like,
play.
Yeah,
one
I think
play.
It
would
be like four or five seconds.
Fair
so it'd be close.
Fair enough. Maybe one play. All right.
Maybe you could squeeze off too quick.
But bad non-call. Final question. The personal foul on Zach Bond for a late hit. It was a third down stop in the fourth quarter. What made that a personal foul in that situation? The answer, so the officials saw we had a prone player on the ground. and he came in and hit the player that was prone on the ground when the play was over. And that's completely accurate. Totally accurate. Now, I will say,
I would have asked about the fumble forward pass, because, I mean, I've watched that replay 20 times.
Well, hold on.
Bo Nix for, like,
right
it,
call.
I don't think it one. Was, man.
I
it,
do.
Like, but the ball, like, he it's gets it right before call. His hit. Like, it's like right the
I
moment
think his
hands are
coming forward.
But if it's close it's enough where if it was called that way on the field, I don't think you can overturn it.
Do you agree
it.
With him, John?
It's the tuck rule. Yeah.
It's not the tuck rule.
No,
tuck rule should be pulls the ball
guys,
back in.
It's not the tuck rule.
Tuck rule's gone anyway.
It's coming forward when the ball is hit, so, then it's an incomplete pass.
So I'm with you. I think it should have been an incomplete
that's
pass almost.
Rule.
Yeah. No, it's not.
That's not the tuck rule.
The tuck rule.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
That's not the tuck rule.
Tuck rule is when you pull it down. It's when you pull it down. It's when you pull it down.
If your hand is coming forward as the ball is fumbled, it is not a fumble. It is an incomplete pass.
No,
but it's not the tuck rule.
Yeah, let's just move on. The tuck rule doesn't even exist anymore. I'm telling you, it's not the tuck rule. But I agree with you. I thought it was an incomplete pass. All right, so look, everyone's in a bad mood, rightfully so.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what I'm talking about, Kyle.
We're getting right back up.
We got to get back up, man. We ain't got time for this.
Jesus Luzardo tonight. I do have faith in Jesus. I think he's going to pitch a big game tonight in game number two.
Luzilla.
Yes. We need him. We need him. Phillies down 0-1 in the best of five NLDS. And, of course, the Eagles take their first loss of the season yesterday. Let's talk to the guy that was on the call yesterday right here on WIP, the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese.
Merrill Reese.
How you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing okay. You know, just disappointed. I thought this would be their toughest game of the season so far, and it certainly turned out to be. And I never felt safe, and I said this time and time again, when they were up 17-3, I felt really strongly that they needed more points. They had to move, and you could see them bogged down, and you knew that there was trouble in store, and certainly they got plenty of trouble.
Yeah, you're right about that. Go ahead, Merrill.
They lost the game because they didn't play well enough to win. They didn't stop the run. They didn't run the ball well enough. A lot of reasons. They weren't disciplined. They made too many procedural mistakes. However, so I'm not blaming the officials for the loss. However, I don't buy a lot of the explanations that I'm hearing. Maybe they had trouble communicating, but that was clearly intentional grounding. I don't care which way you look at it. That was intentional grounding, and to me, the vision you got, of course, we didn't know about the communications problems that the officials had, but to me, it looked like intentional grounding was called. Officials met, they threw the flag, and then Bo Nix came over and talked his way out of it. It just bothered me so much to see something like that happen. Now they say they later got a call from somebody downfield who couldn't communicate because the system was out. But regardless, to me, that was intentional grounding. And then when they came back at the end of the game, I think it was egregious how they missed the pass interference with the Dallas Goedert. That was absolutely just awful, negligent on the part of the official.
So, Mayor, I agree with you. So, yesterday it felt like there were five borderline or, you know, controversial calls. And I thought three of them, I understood where the rest were coming from. The fumble early in the game, I heard you and Mike talking about that, where Bo Nix, it looked like he fumbled, but then they said the hand was coming forward. All right, that's 50-50. I thought the Bond one.
Here's the thing about that. I could see that either way.
Yep.
But they called it a fumble on the field.
They did.
But there's enough evidence to reverse the call. I think it's inconclusive.
Perhaps it was inconclusive.
You stay with the call on the field.
That is true. So that one, the Dotson one by the sideline, I thought it was questionable whether he got possession with the 2 feet, and then the Bond one was a penalty. Although you wish that's more on Bond. But I agree with you, Merrill. The two you're referencing, the intentional grounding, clearly it was. And I thought the Goddard one was the worst of them all. I mean, that's pass interference.
That was definitely PI.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. So. But again, and Nick Sirianni was very, very honest about things, and he was very, very said the right things. He doesn't need to have problems from the league, but Nick said these things even out. I don't think they evened out yesterday, but they, you know, over the long haul, maybe they even out. But they certainly played a part in the game. But one of the things that Nick said, which I do agree with, you don't want to put yourself in the position where a bad call can ruin you, can help you lose, and make you lose. You don't want to be the Eagles had every reason and every right to build on that 17-3 lead. That game shouldn't have even been close at the end.
Merrill, what was your thought on how the game expressed itself with the Eagles' offense? It, you know, over the last year plus, they have been more of a running team than a throwing team. Balance, you know, is what they want to be, but they've run the ball a lot, and last year they ran it super effectively. And I know their run game hasn't been as good this year, but Merrill, I was surprised as the second half went on, they didn't run the ball more, and I thought the Eagles' defense, because of it, was kind of gassed towards the end. It's rare the Eagles don't win time of possession, Merrill, and yesterday they lost it by 11 minutes. What did you make of them throwing so much, especially late in the game versus running it more?
Well, I don't buy the theory that some people espouse that they were trying just to make A.J. Brown happy. That had nothing to do with it. They put the game plan together, and they operate on what the defense shows them and what they're able to do. And they just, look, they have not been able to run the ball effectively. And I think part of it is that the offensive line has obvious injuries, and they are just not playing the way they have played in the past.
Well, that is true. And it's been choppy offensively for five games. They are 4-1. The loss yesterday to the Denver Broncos in a close game. All right, Merrill, looking forward, short week now, which I think actually could be a good thing because there's not time to dwell on this. They got to just, you know, move off it, correct the mistakes, and they got a game in the division on the road Thursday night against the Giants. First thought on the game, Merrill, obviously it's a team they've beat a lot lately, and they should beat again on Thursday. Eagles-Giants this Thursday night.
Yeah, well, the Eagles are the better team. There's no doubt about it. And then when you see the Giants lose to the Saints yesterday, you figure that the Giants have their problems, but they have a young quarterback who has provided a bit of a spark, but the Eagles are clearly the better team, and I like the fact that they can play again in a few days and get it out of their system.
No question. Merrill, we appreciate a few minutes today. Enjoy.
One other thing, Joe, I just have to say. Mm-hmm. I did feel better late last night when I watched Buffalo at home against a 2-2 team, and they went down the drain against New England. So there's no undefeated team in the National Football League.
Well, that is true. Yesterday were quite a few upsets, including the Eagles getting knocked off. Merrill, we appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
Have a good one, Merrill.
Thank you, guys.
There we go. Merrill Reese, the voice of the Eagles. He brought up the penalties. We'll get into all of them, the ones that were called, the ones that weren't, the issues with the refs coming up. Back to the phone lines here, 215-592-9494. Black Gritty up on WIP. Hey, Black Gritty.
Black Gritty.
Hey, good morning, guys. I thought you'd be happier. You know what I mean? They were slinging it all over the place for you. You know, Jay was throwing the ball. He's throwing the ball well.
That's too many throws, Black Gritty. Too many.
But you wanted to see him if he could come back, if he was down a game. And then, you know, you just want to see the passing offense do something. He threw that down to Dotson. Hey, Dotson, you got to get your foot in. That's another 30 yards. Hey, AJ, you want the ball, bro. You got to keep running. That's another 70 yards, another touchdown. Mm. My boy could have 403 touchdowns.
He also missed throws. I mean, come on.
Every quarterback misses throws, bro. Don't come at me like that.
Wait. Hold on. You say he could have had 400 yards. He could have had 400 yards if he made better throws. He missed Dotson wide open down the field.
And he had two wide receivers that didn't get the ball job done.
I get it.
400 yards and three touchdowns. That's all you care about, right? You care about the pass game.
No, now, I don't. Petullo, no, I care about. That's not what I care about. I care about the quarterback playing well. Why is it so hard to understand?
Because again,
he took six sacks yesterday. He took six sacks.
Last week, all we talked about was A.J. Brown tweeting and A.J. Brown's drama. We're not talking about the line being dinged up. They can't rush for anything. Saquon looks slow as dirt in the running game. Put Dylan in. Dylan at least runs forward and averages 6 to 7 yards a carry, not three like Saquon is. Hey, thank you for catching the ball out there, Saquon. What about the discipline, Nick? Everybody's out here doing wild commercials, Kane commercials, podcasts, but people can't line up on time. They get all these penalties. Like, where's the discipline at? We're one of the most penalized teams. If you don't do nothing else, you at least keep people lined up. And all these penalties we get, okay? Everybody want to put someone to rest. It should have been left up to the refs. And then, again, you got another OC that don't know nothing and gets stuck in Madden mode, pass, or run. It looks just like when Nick was calling the plays. Because we have somebody in there who doesn't know anything and is Nick's buddy, and it looks embarrassing. Okay, like, so I don't know. I thought we didn't care about the loss as long as you throw the ball around and had almost 300 yards.
I never said that.
That was what was going to make us happy.
No, that doesn't make anyone happy. The quarterback playing well, the team playing well makes people happy. Black Gritty, we appreciate it. But, like, why would anyone be happy because he threw for 200-whatever yards? Like, why would anyone be happy?
Well, I think Black Gritty's point is that he threw the ball more. And you know what the unfortunate thing about what happened yesterday is this, is that you saw what you wanted to see as far as them trying to get the receivers involved. It's just that the outcome wasn't what you wanted it to be. And that's the unfortunate thing. And it skewed. Remember how we were talking about, like, a few weeks ago, oh, they run the ball. They need to throw the ball a little bit more. They need to add a little bit more balance.
But they've gone off kilter the other way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think that, you know, yesterday was something that was needed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we're back. It's a Loser Monday on the WIP afternoon show. Lost every freaking game we could this weekend. We are at the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. Ike, how you feeling, brother?
Well, Brother Spike, was not a good weekend here in the Delaware Valley. Hell, no. In the whole state of Pennsylvania. I'm just saying, it was a tough weekend for everybody. It's a tough weekend for everybody. But it's a new day, and I'm ready to go tonight. We'll digest what the hell happened yesterday with this football team. But we also got to get ready for game two so that we have the right energy in this building, so that we have the right atmosphere to support these guys. Jackie Baseball, let me tell you, take a deep breath, count to 10, exhale, and let's get ready to kick some ass tonight. All right? Holla at your boy.
I got to be honest. I feel good. I don't really have much nerves walking in this ballpark.
Okay.
We'll deal with the football team, but I need everyone to nut up a little bit.
We got
a ball game to win
there
tonight.
There we go.
All right. We ride at 6:08.
There we go.
All right. Well, enough with the good energy.
Here we go.
Well, look. Here's the deal. Well, we'll start with the football team first, yes. And I promise we will get to the baseball team, and we'll start to look at tonight's game. But the I'm not glad they lost the game. I'm not. But at least losing the game can allow us to call things for what they are this week. And we don't have to play this game that because they won the game that everything is all right. Here is the truth.
We do that a lot.
Yes. Yeah. The Eagles' offense sucks. It flat out sucks, especially considering the personnel that is on this team. They don't do anything well consistently. They do not run the ball well consistently. They do not pass the ball well consistently. They have no identity because they don't do anything well enough to do it for long enough to be their identity. And you can look at just about every metric there is, from the regular ones to the advanced ones. There are no good passing metrics. There are no good rushing metrics. They are now 30th in the league again in sack rate. 30th. There's only 32 teams. They have the fourth most three and outs in the entire NFL. For every good half of offense we have one that is not only subpar, but is absolutely positively horrible. And I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know if it's Kevin Petrullo. I don't know if it's Nick Sirianni. I don't know if it's Jalen. I don't know if it's the offensive line. But it is not even close to being good enough to be a Super Bowl team. Not even close. And this whole thing where the quarterback and the star wide receiver do not talk to each other is psychotic loser stuff. It is what losers do. To hear that they missed each other on a deep pass and they don't talk to each other about what happened afterwards is what losers do. They have all the makings of a poorly coached team. They get dumb penalties. They say they don't communicate well. Every week it's the same thing. We just aren't executing well. And last year they had a gift that they could solve the problem of their offense with this dominant offensive line and this dominant running back. They do not have that gift this year. And the last thing, you can miss me with all of this. It's early and they have to get used to their new coordinator stuff. It's crazy to say it. The Lions have a new coordinator. Every time I look, they're scoring 40 points. The Indianapolis Colts have a brand new quarterback. Every time I look, they're scoring 40 points. The Bucks have a new offensive coordinator. The Eagles have the same players they had last year. They have the same head coach, and they have an offensive coordinator who's been in the building for 5 years. Mm-hmm. It just isn't good enough. And they've been playing with fire all year long with this, and it finally bit them yesterday. Yeah. You know, we can talk about penalties and all this. They scored 17 points.
Yeah.
The end of the day, they scored 17 points, and it's just not good enough. And the thing that is bothering me is normally when something is wrong, mm-hmm. you can pin it on somebody.
Right.
We all want to pin it on Petrullo or pin it on Jalen or pin it on Nick or one of these
right.
things or pin it on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. It just feels like none of them are doing their jobs well enough, and that's why we are where we are.
Well, where we are, Spike, is 4-1.
Well, that's right? True. Yes.
Take a deep breath. I understand. Listen, I'm not going to stop anybody that wants to release this frustration that I'm sure has been pent up for a few weeks. But when you win football games, it's hard to, from a mental and psychic standpoint, of trying to enjoy the win while also deal with the issues that you clearly see on game day.
Right.
So I get that. Get that. I'm not going to stop anybody from letting it out today. Here's what I'll say. I'm not overreacting. They are 4-1, and maybe the loss does turn out to be a good thing, because some things you have to face in a loss that you choose to ignore in wins. We do that as fans all the time, and that's why the attention around the team is going to be a little different this week, and that's fine. Now everybody has a dose of reality. It finally cost them a game. But I'll tell you what, some things I'm okay with what I saw yesterday. I'm okay with the way I saw the passing game start to look yesterday. We've been talking about pass the football, explosive plays. Yesterday was by far the most explosive the offensive looked through the air. And 38 passes, albeit probably about 10 too many. It's probably about 10 passes too many. And I get it. I get it. They got pass happy yesterday. But you know what happened? They saw those explosive plays and they said, man, let's keep doing it. We're hitting the ball to Devontae. We're hitting the ball to, you know, AJ didn't get explosive plays, but hell, at least he got targets. I mean, they're hitting the ball to Jahan Dotson down the field. There were some good things. Jalen looked good for the most part throwing the football yesterday. Yes, there were lulls in the offense where they didn't pick up first downs and all of that. All that stuff can be correct. I'm not telling you it was a flawless game. It was a game full of flaws that when you lose, now you have to address those things. But what I will say, it's the first loss of the season. Buffalo Bills also lost last night to the New England Patriots at home. So no one's undefeated anymore. And it forces you to have to look yourself in the mirror with some of these things. But at the same time, if I'm looking for what I wanted to see some progress from, the passing game, I saw it. I saw it. I saw good throws. Saquon out of the backfield. Hadn't seen that all year. I saw throws down the field. Hell, I saw third and 17 where they usually have handed the ball off and just given up.
That was a gift.
That
was nice.
One down the field to Devontae early in the game. Those are things that I can take away from this game and say, you know what? Let's build on that. We have to get the running game going. And believe me, if you don't think Saquon is going to be running with a little extra pep in his step Thursday night, once we see that part of it get going, Spike, this team, there's still a lot of football left to play. Still a lot of football left to play. Man, get it out. Man, get it out. Get your frustrations out today. Get your frustrations out today. And yes, they threw the ball because their wide receivers have been complaining for 2 or 3 weeks. So they said, damn it, we'll throw the damn ball today. They threw it. Devontae looked like a damn top 10 receiver. And AJ, we'll get him going. We'll get him going once he starts.
I'm glad you're positive.
Yeah, well, listen, the 60-yarder was there for the touchdown.
It was.
If he kept running.
It was.
Keeps running, that's there. And now that's Jalen, 300-plus yards, 3 touchdown passes. AJ sitting at about, 100 yards, because that's 60 more yards added to whatever he did yesterday. That's a good day. That's not even including the Jahan Dotson pass that I still believe he caught. And the Devontae Smith pass that got called back.
Because of the illegal motion.
Because of that nonsense they called against Saquon. That stuff Jalen actually did and hit. I know it didn't count, but I saw it with my own. I hadn't seen that all year long. I saw it yesterday. And if we can look like that throwing the ball and add the run game to it, we got some good things going. Listen, they finally got bit in the butt yesterday. Be upset, you got every right. But I think it's more upset about what has been the totality over 5 games. That's where the frustration.
Yeah, it's not just about
their first game of the season. Just lost their first game of the season.
It's not about the loss,
right?
Yeah, it really isn't. As you mentioned, Buffalo lost. You're not gonna go 17-0.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I will say this: and 215-592-9494, agree partially on the passing thing. What concerns?
They look good passing the ball yesterday.
What concerns me is what happened in the second half. Mm-hmm. Is Denver primarily plays man, but what they did in the second half is what the Bucs did. Is they only rushed 4 guys. Now sometimes they drop guys back into coverage, and one of the guys that was rushing was a cornerback or a safety or whatever it was, and they drop everybody back into zone, and that's when all those sacks start happening. That's when we hold on to the ball, and it's when we, you know, and even the sacks that is just Jalen running out of bounds a yard or two short, that's still a sack. It's a passing play that ends up in a loss.
I agree.
You know, so all right.
No, there's definitely some negative there that they need to clean up. I'm just saying, at least yesterday, I saw some things I'd been looking to see all year long.
Right.
And to see the ball going down the field and challenging defense. That's a very good Broncos defense. See, we all looked at that 2-2 record, and we act like that was supposed to be a cakewalk. That's a very good football coach. They got a head coach that was a defensive coordinator that used to be a head coach over there, much like we have, right? So you got good coaches over there, good scheme, and Bo Nix didn't make the play that cost him the game yesterday.
No, he didn't.
He didn't make any huge mistakes yesterday. Although that was a strip sack that Cooper DeJean had. I'll go to my grave saying that. I don't give a damn what they're talking about. Arm going forward, that nonsense. That was a strip sack. It was a strip sack. It's an offensive league where they give you the benefit of doubt with this nonsense. That was a damn fumble.
Your boy almost had it. It was a good play by Cooper, whether it was a fumble or not.
Yeah.
215-592.
They finally used him to rush the passer.
94-94. Yes.
Like that?
215-592-9494. I can't believe you're feeling so good. Corey in Columbus. Well, you're on WIP.
Trying to bring the good vibes to the city.
Which we need.
So it's a lot of – go ahead.
Corey, you're on WIP.
Hey, man. Like, I'm with Ike. Now, listen. This is what the loss did. It gives us the opportunity to address stuff. Listen, I'm like Ike. There's a lot of stuff I saw, but, like – there's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned up with this football team. Like, for example, like when we're talking about like the penalties, you know what I'm saying? Like the goofy stuff. Like I'm not even gonna blame the ref. I'm just talking about like the goofy penalties that we put on ourselves. Like all three of our star players yesterday got false start penalties. Saquon, AJ, Devontae, like that. That stuff like that stuff needs to be addressed. You know what I'm saying? And it's like when I sit here and look like. The offensive line, yeah, it's reeling, you know what I'm saying? Like, Dickerson in and out, you know, you're dealing with Brett Toff in there, you know, Steen, all that. Like, we got to get that figured out. But this is the thing with this team, right? I've seen them, you know, deal with adversity and overcome it. But this is something that needs to happen, right? I need everybody to take accountability. I don't see everybody taking accountability. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, who
like,
do you want to take accountability?
Everybody on the team. I need the whole team.
What do you mean? You don't cover a team. You can say who it is.
Who are you talking about?
I need everybody to take accountability. That's all. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan. You know, I just hear certain people taking accountability, some people trying to put the blame. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I love this football team. I'm a fan. Like, the same thing with the Phillies. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a change the topic a little bit. I'm tired of this back and forth bull crap. Oh, the team lost. Oh, well, this team going to lose. We all fans are the same damn teams. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all forgot what it was like when we was losing and stuff. Like, we was...
Fritz.
We want to win everybody. Baseball. This ain't no baseball versus damn football. We fans of both teams. And I'm tired of this,
not
man.
Not my mentions over the weekend.
Well, you created that.
Phillies need more Jaylen.
And I'm just tired of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? We got to go out here and we got to support this thing now. Now, everybody, you can get it out, you know. Some people going to be AJ style. Like, that's what I don't want. I don't need no AJ versus Jaylen versus Coach. It's a team. We for everybody. Everybody need to get it together. Everybody didn't want Petullo gone, right? This is what I don't get. Everybody want Petullo gone, but then they'll say Jaylen got 75 offensive coordinators. Well, guess what happened if Petullo leaves?
That's
another offensive coordinator. Also, right. So there's another new voice. So I give you another excuse. All I'm saying is clean the stuff up, man. We got the Giants this week. We going to bust on them. Pause. But this is the easiest part of the schedule. Clean this up. You know what I'm saying? We got to get it together, man. Jeff Dowling, you ain't off the hook. Are you the GOAT? Clean it up. Everybody. Quinyon Mitchell wasn't your best showing yesterday, but I still believe in you. Clean it up. You know what I'm saying? That's all. We all right, y'all. Bills tonight. Right.
Yep. Take care of business tonight.
Yeah, take care of business.
Well, interesting. And so no Bader.
No Bader at all.
No Bader. Sosa's playing second, and Otto Kemp's in left field. Outfield of Castellanos, Marsh, and Otto Kemp.
Is Stott at – they're not playing Stott at all?
They're not playing Stott.
Okay. Yeah.
Whew. All right.
Well,
you gotta do it.
He's been. I mean, Sosa has been great.
Yes, sir. I need that ball on the ground or at least a line.
Is Bader available to pinch hit?
I think he's talking right now.
Okay.
He could possibly pinch hit, according to Rob Thompson.
Okay, so you know potentially we get him back in Los Angeles.
Win tonight, and hopefully he's good to go for Game 3.
All right. Well, I think it's probably smart to not push him. Tonight, you know, because then he ends up irritating it again. And look, part of Bader, the good part of Bader is his speed, both in the outfield and on the bases. And if you're getting a limited Bader, I sort of get that. Otto Kemp in left field, huh? Well.
Well, the splits here are great.
Yeah,
so that's probably why they went with him over Wilson.
Yep.
So, but still, that's it's a pretty big spot.
Yeah.
Pretty big spot.
215-592-9494. Trey in South Carolina. You're on WIP. What's up, Trey? Trey.
What's up, Spike?
What's up, Trey?
How y'all fellas doing?
What's up, Trey?
I don't want to run AJ out of town, man. AJ's not the problem, man. Jaylen is, man.
So we're going to run Jaylen out of town.
No, I don't want to run him out of town, man. I'm just saying, you see all these quarterbacks, Sam Darnold and what's the name? Baker Mayfield and all those guys, they're throwing the football all over the yard with hardly no weapons. Look at all the weapons we got, and look at what Jalen do, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I don't know. Winning 20 out of 22 games is, I know that's tough to, like, accept, but it's hard to go 22-0. I mean, 20-2 is pretty good, right, in a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, what is your plan with the quarterback position if it's not Jalen?
y'all might laugh, but that's the turn of a key.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say this, man. Lay this on y'all and I get off the phone. I won't lay this on y'all. I don't want AJ gone, man. If AJ gone, we don't have a chance.
Listen, I hear you. I don't think anybody wants AJ gone.
Nobody wants
the
AJ
gone. The question
is
whether or not AJ will want to still be here. Like, that's the reality of the situation. Either way you slice it. The Eagles have paid AJ. They clearly want him here. If he only determines his happiness of being here is how involved he is in the offense, then that's something he's going to have to reevaluate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much that simple. Like if you're a player that feels like you deserve and want to be a bigger part of an offense, and unless you get that, you're not going to be happy. I don't know what you want the Eagles to do. You want them to just cater everything to AJ being happy? What about the other players?
Well,
the offense.
And especially if and I'm not, again, I'm not putting this on AJ. It's both of them or whatever. If the quarterback and the wide receiver are not constantly communicating about, like, they've been playing so long together that they should know each other like the back of their hand, right? That Jalen should know where AJ is going to be. AJ, and if they're not, then that's a situation where they have to be talking to each other and communicating and figure out why they're not. And if they're not communicating, which it seems like just based on answers that AJ gives, I don't know how they're going to get back. That's the thing, aside from the public comments, that's the thing that I'm most disappointed in AJ on, again, without trying to figure out who's the reason that they're not talking to each other, that if they're not communicating to get back on the same page, it's going to be really hard to get the best out of both of those guys.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, communication starts with both parties wanting to communicate,
right?
And somebody wanting to listen and be understanding. Like, so, you know, I'm not on the team, so I don't know how that dynamic works. All I know is that it's hard to find good quarterbacking play that you win the majority of the time with. And when you decide you want to move on from someone that wins with the regularity in which Jalen does as a starting quarterback in this league, you had better have an absolute replacement there that's going to do the same or better.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have to answer for it.
Yeah, you better have a good plan.
It's like trading a franchise basketball player because he's not – well, guess what? You had better have a good player or a good plan in place to replace that guy.
Most times when you see that happening, there has been somebody sitting there waiting for the coach to get in there. Mm-hmm. You know, most times it's when the starting quarterback is older, and the only time I can think about it when the starting quarterback wasn't older was when Colin Kaepernick replaced Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. And it seemed – it was Jim Harbaugh at that time, right?
Yeah.
It seemed like Harbaugh was waiting for his opportunity to
get
Kaepernick.
Well, he didn't draft Alex Smith. He drafted Colin Kaepernick.
He drafted
Kaepernick. So that's his quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. And he was waiting for the opportunity to do it. Alex Smith got hurt. Kaepernick got in there and never got out. But,
we saw Andy do the same thing with Alex Smith. He didn't draft Alex Smith. Yep. He drafted Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
This is different, though. Now, Nick didn't draft Jalen.
But Howie did.
Yes. Yeah. Howie drafted him, and Jalen has already won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
See, you can't forget about all those other ingredients there. It's not equal on the surface. It's one guy is a franchise player.
Yep.
he's arguably the best quarterback in franchise history.
Yeah.
So unless he's losing football games, no one in their right minds trades a starting quarterback that wins with the regularity that Jalen Hurts does.
215-592-9494.
For a wide receiver?
Yeah.
Are you kidding
me? For a wide receiver that isn't
happy. Listen, as great as Randy was and as great as T.O. was, neither one of them ever won a Super Bowl, and they both played for multiple teams.
Right, and you can point to
I say that to say, that you can win without that type. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like
that,
you can point to a ton of Super Bowl teams that didn't have a true number one wide receiver.
And AJ has won a Super Bowl. That's not to diminish what AJ is as a player. I'm trying to tell you the difference between the importance of one versus the other.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.